This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. The thrust of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's re-election strategy last year was to secure endorsements from Democratic mayors. New Bridgegate documents released by the Republican governor's lawyers indicate an unusual level of coordination between his campaign staff and his government staff. They show the very same workers who helped mayors with government problems also sought their endorsements. Matt Katz of New Jersey Public Radio reports.
Republican Chris Christie wanted to win his re-election last year, and he wanted to do it big. To that end, he needed Democrats. To get Democrats, he needed Democratic officials to endorse him. By collecting these endorsements, he could prove himself as a Republican who could win in a blue state, and therefore a perfect candidate for president in 2016.
It's not easy to stand up and endorse somebody in the other party for governor. And so I want to thank them for standing up for what they believe is right for their citizens and not putting their party before the people they represent. They're heroes, and they deserve your applause.
In Spring Lake last summer, Christie celebrated the local Democrats who endorsed him. New documents now indicate how his staff, both on the campaign and at the state capitol, helped to make those endorsements happen. The documents were compiled from thousands of pages that were released last week as part of an internal review Christie ordered into the scandals enveloping his administration.
We found that Governor Christie.
Christie's lawyer Randy Mastro maintains the documents exonerate the governor. But the first record of the intense focus on endorsements comes at a meeting in Christie's office at the State House in January 2013 that was ostensibly about Sandy funding. This was when Christie asked Hoboken Mayor Don Zimmer for her endorsement.
He talked about how we've had a great relationship and we've really worked together and that he would really like to have my support, and he asked for my endorsement.
Zimmer was noncommittal. So afterward, Christie's staff and his taxpayer-funded office worked in concert with his re-election campaign to do what they could do to get Zimmer on their side. For example, they fast-tracked meetings with state officials who Zimmer wanted to meet with. But by July 2013, 4 months before the election, Zimmer was still noncommittal. Campaign manager Bill Stepien was getting anxious. "We're approaching a point in time where we have the so what's it going to be," he wrote to a colleague. "Are you with us or are you against us?" Carl Golden was a press secretary for two Republican governors in New Jersey. He says that politics and government are always intertwined.
Only the most naive among us would believe that politics is not a major element in any governor's office, politics and political considerations. It's always there. The key is how discreet is the office going to be, or something created by the governor's office, in dealing with that.
Team Christie was not discreet about the Hoboken mayor. When campaign manager Stepien learned that Mayor Zimmer wasn't endorsing anyone, he was furious, complaining to a colleague that they had been kissing her ass all these years for nothing. At an August event in Hoboken, in which reality TV's Cake Boss endorsed Christie, Zimmer wanted to come by. But Christie, quote, strongly agreed with a decision by his staff to tell her to stay away. In November, Christie won re-election by 22 points. Then the Bridgegate scandal broke, and Zimmer told WNYC she wondered if she lost out on Sandy aid because she didn't endorse the governor.
With 2020 hindsight, I mean, in the context that we're in right now, you can always look back and say, like, okay, it was a retribution, but, like, you know, so I think probably all mayors are reflecting right now and thinking about it. But I really hope that that's not the case.
Another mayor wondered the same thing when lanes to the George Washington Bridge from his town inexplicably closed last September. The speculation continues to be that the Bridgegate scandal evolved from a plan to retaliate against Fort Lee Mayor Mark Sokolich, who didn't endorse Christie.
He was not somebody that was on my radar screen in any way, politically, professionally, or in any other way, until these stories came out in the aftermath of the closing.
That was what Christie said about Sokolich after Bridgegate broke. But internal documents indicate that his team was going after Sokolich hard. His name first showed up in an email sent in January 2013 by a government official, Pete Sheridan, to five of his employees in the Intergovernmental Affairs Unit of the governor's office. The email had a list of 21 Democratic mayors who state workers were supposed to secure endorsements from. Intergovernmental Affairs was technically in charge of making sure mayors' needs were met by Christie's office. But now that the campaign was on, the workers had to also go out and get those mayors' endorsements. Sheridan told the state employees that they should only be doing this on their own time since it was political work, but he sent those instructions during work hours on a Thursday. And the documents show one of the employees met with the Fort Lee mayor on a Tuesday for lunch, in which the topic of endorsements came up. It was an official government meeting. Golden, the former Republican press secretary, explains how it works.
That mayor doesn't need a translator to understand what's going on. That the governor's office is in a position to help. The governor's office is, conversely, in a position to harm, depending on the outcome of these conversations.
Former Democratic Governor John Corzine kept a wall separating government meetings and political endorsements, former aide said, with endorsement asks happening in the early mornings at diners. Braxton Plummer was the director of intergovernmental affairs for Corzine. Reports of how the office was used by Christie shocked him.
Everybody stayed on message to do the appropriate thing on a day-to-day basis. From 9 to 5, we operate as a government, so there was no time to really play the side.
In August of last year, top government aide Bridget Ann Kelly checked to see if the Fort Lee mayor had decided to endorse Christie. He hadn't. The next morning, she wrote the famous "Time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee" email. Christie's spokesman sent WNYC a statement from the governor's lawyer, Randy Mastro, who reiterated that government staff volunteer to do the campaign work on their own personal time. A lawyer for the state Republican Party said that campaign workers who also work for government are told to clearly identify which hat they are wearing and when. For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.
Matt joins us now for more. Matt, is what these government workers did illegal?
Well, we've talked to some former prosecutors in the last couple of days. We found that in the least, the U.S. Attorney's Office that's investigating Bridgegate is probably going to look into just exactly what we just reported. It's certainly something they're going to want to examine. Dan Stein, a former head of the Public Corruption Unit in the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office, told us that elected officials can't use public resources for personal or political purposes. That's the law. And politicians also can't misrepresent how those resources are being used. That would be fraud. So how these officials in his office represented themselves when they were out soliciting endorsements is going to be something that they'll look at. But again, Christie's office denies anything unethical and especially illegal happened here.
You were with Governor Christie this afternoon at a town hall in Sayreville. Any news coming out of it?
No, it was interesting. It was more subdued than recent town hall meetings. There were some empty chairs, far fewer TV cameras. It could have been any governor anywhere, not a famous governor in the middle of a high profile scandal. He took gifts from kids and he answered questions about school choice and medical marijuana. But interestingly, though, it was in Sayreville, which is the hometown of John Wisniewski, the assemblyman who is investigating Bridgegate. But good news for the gov, he did not get a single question about Bridgegate. In the end, though, he was talking about how he enjoys being governor and it's fun being on Saturday Night Live and Jimmy Fallon. And then reporters in the back of the room, we all got an email in our inbox. There will be next Tuesday another hearing by the legislative committee investigating Bridgegate. Looks like they're going to be issuing some more subpoenas. So if he's enjoying a little quiet period right now due to Bridgegate, that'll end in a few days.
New Jersey Public Radio's Matt Katz, thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy.
This is WNYC.